Well, thank you, Pastor Phil, for those extremely kind words, and so true. So grateful for our friendship for decades. The reason I wanted the song is because you got me crying back there, so, you know, I had to wipe the tears. And no, it's just been an incredible adventure to be a part of this church community for literally decades. I just think about it. In April, I'll be on staff for 30 years and been attending for 40. And whether you're brand new to church or whether you've been here for decades, the community that we get to enjoy together, the richness of friendship and community is awesome and is a great gift. Thank you, Lord, for that. So this morning, we're going to have some fun. We're going to be looking at one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and I'm going to start with a question. If you were the wealthiest, most powerful person in the land, what would your attitude be? What would your attitude be as you approach life? This morning, we're going to look and we're going to learn from David's life. And we're going to learn what David's attitude was when he was in that situation. The context for our text in 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to explain here in a minute. We're going to get to the text. We're going to read it. But first, I want to give some background and in a way set up this portion of Scripture that we're going to look at. So we have King David. He's at the end of his life. He's about to head to the grave. And Solomon, his son, is about to head to the throne to be made king. That's where we're at. David desperately wanted to build God a house. He was zealous for the house of God. He was zealous for the presence of God. He knew God's presence at the time dwelt in a house. At the time, it was a tabernacle, but he wanted to build a permanent dwelling, a place for God's presence, because this was his passion. He didn't want God in some portable structure. He wanted him in a permanent house worthy of God. And God told David that he could not build that temple, since he was a man of war. He was a man of blood. He had blood on his hands. He was a warrior. So he wouldn't be able to build it. Solomon, his son, would have the privilege of building the temple since he was a man of peace. Now, how would you respond to that? This is your passion. This is your ultimate. If there was an ultimate, this is it. And David was told no. David's response to God not allowing him to build the temple is utterly exemplary. And we're going to take a look at that attitude this morning. Instead of having a pity party, the Bible says that he prepared with all his might for the construction of God's house. God even gives David the design, all the plans for this temple. And David devotes his time, he devotes his effort, he devotes his resources into preparing for the temple's construction. He did everything he could to set his son Solomon up for success. One of the greatest moments of David's life as a dad. Some not so great moments. That was a good one. And then David prays a prayer found in 1 Chronicles 29. And it's hard for me to read it sometimes without crying. It's a powerful, powerful prayer. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture and one of the great attitude adjustments for me personally in my life. Let's stand and read a portion of that prayer together. In 1 Chronicles 29, 11, verse 11 and verse 14, just a small portion of the prayer. Let's read it together. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. You may be seated. Powerful portion of Scripture. In verse 11 here, we see David praying a prayer that sounds a lot like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. Later it says, yours is the kingdom. In the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus is teaching us how to pray at the end in the doxology, it says, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." The same words. No wonder David was considered a man after God's own heart. David understood this in the Old Testament. Before Jesus even taught us how to pray, David was praying it. That's the heart of this man. But then in verse 14, we see four words that David prayed that I believe express the kind of attitude that enables us to serve God with purity of heart, with pure motives. I so want to serve Him with purity of heart. I know how easy it is to want to take credit for things, to want it to be about me. But I believe that these four words help us to serve God with purity of heart and with pure motives. The title of my message this morning is, "But Who Am I?" But who am I? But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? And you have to understand the value of the gold alone that between David and the people that they gave was $11.5 billion in today's dollars. David, he didn't give out of his treasury. He gave his entire treasury. That was just the gold. Then there was silver, precious stones. There was bronze. There was iron that says that you couldn't even weigh it. He says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand." David wasn't asking, "But who am I?" because he was having an identity crisis. David knew exactly who he was. He was the king. He was the most powerful man in the land. He was the wealthiest man in the land. He was a successful conqueror. And yet his attitude is, "But who am I? But who am I? That I should be able, that I should have the privilege of taking that which is yours, Lord, and be able to give it back to you to build a house for your presence. But who am I that I get the privilege of participating in that great transaction?" You know, God could just do this, right? He's powerful enough just to do this, just to get things done without us. But He allows us the privilege of participating and taking that which is His and offering it back to Him. And guess who gets blessed in the process? We do. We do. He gives us that privilege by His grace. He makes it all possible. He facilitates the whole thing. And we get blessed. We get the privilege of participating in that transaction. So inherent in this phrase, "But who am I? But who am I that I get this privilege?" are three things. One, I am undeserving. Two, it is my privilege to serve. And three, everything is a gift. So with gratefulness, I will serve. Everything is a gift. So with gratefulness, I will serve. So those three things. I am undeserving. It's my privilege to serve. And everything is a gift. Therefore, with gratefulness, I will serve. I am undeserving. David was very aware of the grace of God in his life. He was aware of his failures. And he had many of them. And he is aware of God's mercy. He was aware of his roots and the fact that he was chosen to be king based on no effort on his part. Remember, when Samuel came to choose the king, David was out with the sheep. He was a shepherd boy. He was the one that delivered lunch to his brothers, who were the real men off to war. David's dad asks him to take some food to him. Now, I have a question for you. When you go to a movie theater, and the movie's done, how many of you get up and leave right away? And how many of you stay and watch the credits roll to the end? And then you get up and leave the theater. So let's take a show of hands. How many leave right away? All right. How many watch all the credits roll to the end? All right. Daryl Sherman does that. Not by choice. Right, so it does become a marital issue at times, you know. It's kind of like toothpaste and how you roll the toilet paper, all that. But it does become an issue. Thank you, Pastor Phil. It's very Christ-like to lay down your life like that. Yeah, well, okay, you're working on it, right. Daryl Sherman's one of those guys that likes to watch it to the end. We learned that from his daughter. We learn a lot of things about Daryl. Okay, so watch the credits to the end. So those of you who stay to the very last credit, you know that one of the very last credits that appear is the caterer. The caterer, right? The caterer, right? The caterer. So now this, the caterer, I'll tell you, for the set, for the actors, the caterer that delivers all the food to the actors because they have to eat because they're filming for hours, right? So now this situation with David would be like the caterer stopping by the movie set to drop off the sandwiches for lunch and suddenly being given the starring role in the show. He's given the leading role in the movie. So when David's dad asked him to deliver some food to his brothers who were off to war with the Philistines, David suddenly found himself in the lead role, fighting and defeating Goliath and delivering the Israelites. Amen. Don't you think he understood that he was undeserving of the great gifts that God had given him? I'm just a caterer. We are also undeserving. We had nothing to do with being born, for example. Or to what parents, in what country, or even in what century. I breathe because God gave me lungs to breathe with and a body to contain those lungs. You listen to this message. Thank you. Because God gave you ears to listen with. We did not do anything to earn these gifts. As a matter of fact, through our sin, we have greatly offended God. And yet He has had mercy on us. And He has loved us while we were yet His enemies. He didn't wait till we got it all together and started loving Him. He loved us first while we were offending Him. He died for us. He cleansed us by His blood, as we sang so beautifully this morning. Thank you, worship team. Cleansed us by His blood and gave us His righteousness. And then He allows us to stand in His presence, even though He's a holy God. And all of that is a free gift that we did not deserve in any way. But who am I? Undeserving, that's for sure. Undeserving, that's for sure. The more we realize how undeserving we are of our salvation, the more joy we will have in our salvation. It's like being set free from death row, and you deserve to be there. It's like being set free from death row and winning the lottery all in the same day. That would be quite a change of circumstances. You're about to die. Now you're not about to die. You're set free. You're free. You're free. You can go. Really? I can go? Yeah, you can go. Not only that, here's millions. Take it. No. You're serious? Really? I don't deserve that. Well, you're right. You don't. But here it is. If we understand that, don't you think we're going to walk with joy? Don't you think it's going to like seep down into our inner being and it's going to like come out, maybe like with a smile? And maybe it'll come out by devoting our whole life in service to Him. So this means that we must daily remember that anything good in our lives comes from Him. It is our privilege to receive it. And then it's our privilege to give it away as David did. So a helpful picture to illustrate this, receiving gifts into our lives and then giving out of our lives, is found in Israel. So here's a map, and here's a picture of the Sea of Galilee. You have the Jordan River, and then you have the Dead Sea. So down below there, you see the Dead Sea and those salts and minerals. You see people floating in the Dead Sea there. But you have the Sea of Galilee up there, Jordan River, Dead Sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee is the life source for the nation of Israel. They can't live without it. It is their fresh water. They depend on it. They watch the level of that sea closely. Guess what that's their primary life source. Again, it literally keeps them alive. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, is full of toxic water due to the intensely concentrated levels of salt and minerals. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee, life source. Dead Sea, nothing lives. Matter of fact, if you drink the water, it'll kill you. So the reason for the difference between the two seas is simple, and it has everything to do with this scripture. The Sea of Galilee has fresh water flowing into it. Matter of fact, there's three springs that make up the Jordan that then flow into the Sea of Galilee. So you have a type of the three in one, the Trinity, flowing in, our life source, flowing in. And then you have the Jordan River flowing out, fresh water flowing out. The Dead Sea has fresh water flowing into it and no water flowing out of it. It's the lowest place on earth, at around 1,400 feet below sea level. See, those people, they are low life floating in the Dead Sea there. Low life right there. Here, let's take a look at some other people. We'll take a look. Hey, there's CJ and Jenny on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Life. Yay, there they are. That 2006 is the year he proposed to her. So they're not married yet. So there's a little PDA going on, public display of affection, but not a whole lot yet. Anyway. But look at that glow on her face, right? CJ and Jenny right there. And then, that's the Sea of Galilee. Then we have a shot of the Jordan River. We have baptism going on in the Jordan. And then here's another shot of a bunch of people that got baptized. Look at that. Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah, so, again, life-giving. These were life-giving places. So back to the map here. So we got to have inflow, like the Sea of Galilee. Inflow is important, but there also must be outflow. Everybody say the word outflow with me. Outflow. Pastor Phil has just completed the Carpenter Series 301 class. It was outstanding. It was outstanding. And he helped us in those five lessons understand some of the unique ways that God has created us, that God has gifted us. We have discovered more about our personalities, our spiritual gifts, our strengths, and our life experiences. All of these things are gifts from God. They result in the unique image of God humans that we are. It has all been very edifying. It's been very, very helpful. So helpful. And the great conversations that are happening in the church. Hey, so what are your spiritual gifts? What are your strengths? Gets us outside of ourselves and considering other people and their story and who God created them to be. It's exciting. It's breathing life into our congregation. We have been able to then take a closer look at what God has then poured into our lives. And now we have the privilege and we have the honor of pouring out our lives to build God's kingdom and to give Him glory. It's called the outflow. But who am I that I should be able to take that which is yours, that which you have given me as a gift, and should be able to give it back to you? That's a great privilege of our lives. Just before my senior year of college, I worked on the Boeing corporate yacht. This was the summer of 1980. And I was surrounded, here's a picture, I was serving in the dining salon there, that's the back of the boat there with the flag up in the inland passageway to Alaska, and then that's the yacht. It was called the Daedalus. I was surrounded by some of the wealthiest people in the world. I look very similar, right? Just lack of hair. Right. Yeah. So at the end of the summer of serving, I concluded that I had more joy in my life than the wealthy people did in theirs. And I was their servant. God used that to highlight for me the high value of serving and giving. I realized that the scripture was clear in its command for us to be Christ-like, and that Jesus was the servant of all. So if I was to be Christ-like, I needed to become a servant. I needed to learn how to be a servant. I also knew that here at Living Faith Fellowship, I was being given the opportunity to serve. Matter of fact, we used to have big Sundays called the Opportunities to Serve Sunday. We'd all sign up for 10 crews to serve on. But I knew I was being given the opportunity to serve. Thus, I was being given the opportunity to be Christ-like. So I chose to stay here and to serve here, as Pastor Phil mentioned. And it is our privilege to serve Him. It is our privilege to serve Him. I can't encourage you enough to take the personality, spiritual gifts, the strengths, and the life experiences that God has poured into your life and pour them out in service to Him. The outflow. Let's have the attitude of David. But who am I? But who am I, Lord, that I should have the privilege of taking that which is yours and being able to give it back to you? Jesus Himself addressed this same idea in the New Testament. In Acts 20, verse 35, second part, He says, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus." That's what it says here. "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Why are you more blessed when you give? Because it creates more room to receive more. And it's also the key to a healthy life. If there's no outflow, what happens? You become the Dead Sea. It leads to stagnation. There's no life. There must be outflow for there to be life, for there to be a healthy life. There must be inflow. We get that by God's grace, and it's our privilege for there to be outflow out of our lives. So if you want to be blessed, receive. Absolutely. You'll be blessed by receiving. But hey, don't stop there. Go on to be more blessed. Give. You'll be more blessed. Think of all the places you go in a day. All the places. There are needy people everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. You have something to give. You have something to give. There are needy people everywhere you go. Guess what? You have something to give. And God has uniquely created you to give it. So as you have freely received, freely give. You actually are created for this kind of life. This is our life in Christ. Matthew 10, verse 8, it says, "Freely you have received, freely give." This is the formula for a healthy life. Every day we manage the inputs and we manage the outputs. What are we taking in? And what are we giving out? We have received magnificent amounts of love, of grace, of forgiveness, of compassion that we can now give. And again, Pastor Phil, through Carpenters 301, he helped us understand so much of what God has given us specifically. Us specifically. You know, what certain kind of personality do you have? Certain combination of spiritual gifts and a special combination of strengths. And on top of that, he throws in a dash or two of life experience. And before you know it, you have you. You have you. A unique creation of God. And when you pour out what He's poured in you, let's take a look at what the Bible says happens. Something amazing happens. Let's look at what it says. Luke 6:38. Give. Give. Outflow. Give. And you will receive. See, that's how it works. You make more room. Give. Oh, there's been some outflow. Let's get some more inflow going. Give and you will receive. What will you receive? Well, your gift will be returned to you in full. Okay, number one, you're not gonna be short anything. You thought you were giving. It's all gonna be given back to you. But not only that, pressed down, shaken together to make for more, to make room for more. So like sifting flour, you know, you shake it down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I challenge you this morning, just try to outgive God. Go for it. Just go for it. With your time, talent, reason, try to outgive him. Just try. It'll be impossible. But it will be fun trying. It will be fun trying. Everything is a gift. This truth explains the amazing response of the people in David's day. They understood that they were taking that which was God's and had the privilege of giving it back to him. But it also stands as the basic truth that influences all of Christian giving. Nothing is earned. Everything is a gift. You do not earn in any way the ability to stand before God. That will always be a gift. Therefore, with gratefulness, we serve. So, what are some of the gifts in our life? I'm glad you asked. Your life itself is a gift. Your career is a gift. Your intelligence is a gift. Whenever, this has been something very real to me, especially with strengths. You know, when I've found myself operating in strengths, recently, this has been new, really. Recently, I've gone, you know what, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of having that strength. And I give him the glory for it and attribute it to him because he's the one that gave it to me. I did nothing to earn that. Nothing. So even intelligence itself, if you're smart, God gets the glory for that. Use it to bless other people and not to make a great name for yourself. Your intelligence is a gift. Your strength is a gift. Your personality is a gift. Your children are a gift. Your grandchildren are a gift. Some of you saw this coming. Your grandchildren are a gift. Much more so than your children. Much more so. And this is why. Because the effort to reward ratio goes way down. Seriously. It does. The effort to reward. Much more reward for the effort put in. It's awesome. I love it. I love that kind of math. Grandchildren, much more of a blessing. Okay. So really, you have to understand this. I did try to avoid referring to my granddaughter in this message. I did. But you did. You did set me up, Pastor Phil. Thank you for that. And, you know, and because Pastor Phil asked me to go get this truck, 12 days ago, I actually got to see her in Boston. So I confess ahead of time that I gave in to temptation. And here is a short clip of our time together. Here's a short clip of
Nellie and I walking. Say hi, Nellie.
Hi, Nellie.
Hi, Nellie. Say hi, Grandpa.
Hi, Grandpa.
Happy Nellie.
Happy Nellie. Happy Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa's really happy having Nellie on his shoulders.
Happy Nellie.
Happy Nellie.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I have to confess something else. That's about the 1,000th time I've watched that. So I'm really, it's not quite idolatry yet, but actually what Pastor Phil says is what she's doing there in the video is she's working a powerful angle for the purpose of securing funds for her future college education. So that's actually what's going on. That's what's going on below the scenes. I don't know. She might have to sort out her motives there, but Nellie is certainly a gift, for sure. There are other gifts. Your friendships are a gift. Our friendships are a gift. Your possessions are a gift. Your accomplishments are a gift. Your wealth is a gift. Your righteousness is a gift. You owe nothing. Everything you have is on loan from God. He gives it to you for a little while and says, take care of it. Use it well for my glory. The late Bishop Edwin Hughes once delivered a rousing sermon on God's ownership. This very kind of thing, that God owns it all. And that put a rich parishioner, one of the congregants that was listening, it put his nose out of joint. I don't know how your nose gets out of joint, but put his nose out of joint. The wealthy man took the bishop out to lunch to make a point. He walked him through his elaborate gardens, his woodlands, and his farm. After this, the man said to the bishop, "Now, are you going to tell me that all this land does not belong to me?" Bishop Hughes smiled And he replied, "Ask me that same question in about 100 years. It's like the two guys at the grave of a wealthy man talking to each other, saying, "I wonder how much they left." He left. The other man replied, "All of it." We're going to leave all of it. What are we going to do with it while it's in our possession right now? While God has given us these gifts, what are we going to do with them? I got a clue that'll be really helpful to all of us. Let's store them up in heaven, because that's going to last forever. Store up our treasure in heaven. It's so easy in this life to default to thinking that we have earned the gifts we have, to make life about us. The cool thing, this is really cool, is that God has given us a remedy for this problem. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's job is to help us understand the free gifts that God has given us. This is awesome. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God," the Holy Spirit. We've received Him. All of us have. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. And guess what He does? He helps us. It says here that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us, reminding us constantly that everything is a gift. That we've freely received these things. This is a huge concept, because man has a tendency to want to take credit and glory for things that belong to God. Remember how the people built the Tower of Babel. Why did they build it? For the purpose of making their name great. That is why David's attitude here in this prayer is so powerful. Because David was the most powerful man in the land. He was king. He was the wealthiest man in the land. Yet his attitude wasn't about himself. But who am I? But who am I that I should be able to take that which is yours and give it back to you? I get to take your righteousness, Lord. And I get to offer it back to you through righteous choices. You empower the whole thing. You make it all possible. You make me righteous, then you teach me how to walk righteously. Thank you for that, Lord. My walking righteously will never earn me righteousness. But because you've made me righteous, I get to then go be it. Thank you, Lord, for that. But who am I that I should be able to take that which is yours and offer it back to you? David's goal was to make God's name great, not make his own name great. So listen, as I read these 8 sentences, which ones do you see happening in your life? So spiritual gifts come in, spiritual gifts go out. Are you functioning in the gifts that God's given you? Strengths come in and strengths go out for the glory of God. Money comes in and money goes out, because we're storing it up in heaven where it will last, where the investment will last forever. Comfort comes in, comfort goes out. We've been comforted, we get to comfort. God's power comes in, God's power goes out. We get to pray for people and see God do miraculous things. Grace comes in and grace goes out. We get to give grace abundantly because we've received it abundantly. And forgiveness comes in and forgiveness goes out. Love comes in and love goes out. And look at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So as you've received these gifts, minister them one to another, because we've received them as a free gift and we're stewards of this manifold grace of God. You know, we have some people right here at our church who are using their gifts and their resources for the purposes of God. Some amazing people. Some amazing people that many of you may not even know, but I'm going to mention their names. One is Brian Miner. Dr. Brian Miner. Recently received his PhD, something probably computer related. The guy's brilliant. He is smart. He's been given a gift of smartness. That's why I like to hang out with him, so some of it might rub off. But he wrote a program, for example, for those of you that took the spiritual gift profile. He wrote a program, just wrote it, so that when you completed it, the results would get emailed to you. That's amazing. He calibrated all of that. The whole thing. I mean, it's way more than what I just said. It is amazing. And he's amazing. And he's using his gifts for the glory of God to edify the body of Christ. Yeah, and the personality profile, I mean, it's amazing to have somebody like that in our congregation. What a gift. What a gift. People like Janet Jewett and Gigi and Yeji. Right? Who so graciously serve us coffee. Well, at least us users. But so graciously serve us coffee as we enter the church each Sunday with great hospitality and gracious spirits. And then Greg Toronto. He actually roasts the coffee beans. I mean, how many of you roast your own coffee beans? He roasts them for all of us. All of us users. That's amazing. It's actually the Toronto LFF roast. You know, it's very fancy, very good. So don't find it anywhere else in town. It's awesome. Then there's the Haiti missions team taking off tomorrow, taking all their gifts and resources to help rebuild after the hurricane in Haiti. And this is just a sampling of the many, many in our midst who pour out their God-given gifts to serve the people of God and to honor God with their lives. Thank you. Thank you, servants. Thank you, servants. Our service is our grateful, loving response to the gospel. Our service is our grateful, loving response to the gospel. C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." By the sun, Jesus. And by his redemption of us, his delivering and setting us free, by that, by what he did for us on the cross, we see everything else. Who am I that I should be able to take that which flows from the cross, his cleansing blood? Who am I that I should be able to take that and then be able to offer it back to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, undeserved. It's our privilege to serve you. And thank you that everything's a gift. So let's look at everything with this attitude of David. But who am I that I should have this privilege of taking that which is yours and giving it back to you? In conclusion, on Judgment Day, there are many things that God will not ask us. Many things he's not going to ask us. Some of them are here in this list. God won't ask what kind of car we drove. But he will ask how many people we drove who didn't have transportation. God won't ask the square footage of our house, but he will ask how many people we welcomed into our home. God won't ask about the clothes we had in our closet, but he will ask how many we helped to clothe. God won't ask what our highest salary was, but he will ask how faithful we were to fund his purposes. God won't ask how popular we were, but he will ask how many lonely people we befriended. God won't ask in what neighborhood we lived, but he will ask how we treated our neighbors. And God won't ask how many spiritual gifts and strengths that we had. He'll ask how we use those spiritual gifts and strengths to build his kingdom. And to make his name great. You know, breathing is a simple thing. We do it without even thinking about it. We just breathe. We breathe in and we breathe out. And so it is in our walk with the Lord. His gifts and resources flow in. And then they flow out to him and to others. This process truly is the breath of our life. It's the breath of life. Let's receive. Let's outflow. Let's breathe this breath of life together. Fresh, dynamic inflow and fresh, dynamic outflow. It's our privilege. It's our privilege to do it. And it's our privilege to do it together. Thank you, Lord, for that. But who am I? But who am I? Sets us free from ourselves. Sets us free from ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for your abundant gifts. Give us revelation on how we might even express them more fully for your namesake, for your glory, for your purposes to build your kingdom. And thank you for the utter privilege it is to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you don't know him, there are people that would love to introduce you to him. So if you don't know him this morning, please come up. He has amazing gifts to pour out to you. He wants to pour them out. Don't leave without receiving them. Amen. So come right up this morning. Pray. If you need healing, if you need anything, just come up and pray. Take time at the altar to sort things through and just to meditate and have a spiritual transaction with God such that you know you're free and ready to go out and have that outflow happen. Receive in and give out. God bless. Let's do this.